This is Monday, October 20th, and it's Rivers in the Desert.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I would like you to say to him, I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want.
I give myself permission to have what I want. Years ago, I met a young
man. I
give myself permission to have what I want.
Oh, did I say it?
It's an old man.
We all do
it. A medical physician that I met many years ago, a lady, said to me that the most powerful affirmation that she did was, I always get what I want. And you must know that. I always get what I want. And you always do get what you want. That's the whole idea of this teaching, is to teach you that you can have what you want. Also this week, Tom called me. He comes and goes. And he said he was looking through something on his desk and he found some notes from 2004. And one of the affirmations that I had given then in 2004 was that I love and appreciate myself. I love and appreciate myself. So, back to this one. I give myself permission to have what I want. Why is that so important to understand? You are the only one that can give yourself permission. If you're waiting for God to give you permission or anybody else to give you permission, please give that idea up. You have to be the one that is giving yourself permission. And when we don't get what we want in life, it's because we're usually waiting for somebody to say it's all right. You have to say it's all right. You have to know that this thing called God is all for what you want. God wants you to have everything that you want. And you do not have to ask God constantly for these things. Take some of this stuff for granted that it's already working. So, what I discovered this week by talking to many people, the whole idea of this teaching, Science of Mind, we talk about the law of mind. And I think people forget because they want to see, Ernest Holmes never wanted this turned into a religion. But it became a religion. It's a philosophy that you do religiously. So they made it into a religion. Now, once you make something into a religion, you're concentrating on a lot of other things. The main concept of this is this thing that we call the law of mind. Now, what do we mean by the law of mind? Some people think, oh, that has something to do with God's mind and the way things are created. Well, that's absolutely true. But there's much more to that. What I would like from this class is to give up the whole idea of God for a moment. Just know that God is a giver. You can't get rid of God if you wanted to. God is always present, always going to be there. So give up that idea that you're searching for God, that you can't find God, or you need God to help you do something, and start doing this stuff yourself. Because this thing that we call the law of mind, first of all, God is love, and God is law, the law of mind. That God uses the law of mind through love. You see, God does not circumvent this thing called the law of mind. That's an immutable law that runs throughout the entire universe. Why is this so important to know? Because what's done on the microcosm or macrocosm is done on the microcosm. So your mind, when we say the law of mind, you have a mind, and your mind sets every law that you live by. Your mind's doing that, not God's mind. You know, if you were using God's mind all the time, only good would come into your life. But because you're using your mind and you don't know that you're setting the laws, then everything comes into your life, things you want and things you don't want. So start looking at your own self as the law of mind, not God. You see, it works in your mind. So, back again, it's a mental world we live in. We have to know that it's a mental world we live in, and that we're using our mind to do something. So we try to align our minds with the mind of God. That's the whole idea of learning to think thoughts after it, or think God's thoughts. But it has to come through your mind. So learn to control your thinking. Learn to control your mind. I talk many times about becoming a witness to your own thinking. You have to be able to see and hear what you're thinking about all the time. And you do that by detaching yourself and realizing that you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So I'll give you an example of this. Last Monday, after I returned from Washington, D.C., on Tuesday I started to feel very poorly. I was coming down with the sniffles and a cold and a sore throat and the whole works. So my mind says, oh, cold coming on. Okay, Dallas, you don't have anything on the books. You can cancel that. You can call these people. You don't have to do this. You can get over this by next Monday. The class will never know you're sick and yada, 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 yada. So I got into bed around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, well, I'll take a little nap and see what's going on here. At 7 o'clock that evening, I woke up and I said, now, Dallas, this is absolutely ridiculous. You don't have time to be sick. You don't want to be sick. Why are you talking yourself into this? Why are you allowing your mind to talk you into this? So I immediately remind myself that the health that I have is the health of God. And that health is operating right through me, right here and right now. That I have over 70 trillion cells in my body, and each cell has God in it. So therefore, I have 70 trillion God cells in my body. I cannot be sick. I got up and I've been feeling better and better each day since Tuesday. Now, why is that so important? Because we talk ourselves into things. My mind started to say, oh, well, this is, and I talked to two people. The one said, well, you know, flying on an airplane, you could have picked up anything, Dallas. And another one said, oh, well, it's the fires, you know, it's the breathing, and the air is bad, Dallas, and all that. And you see, you start to buy into that. You start to buy into that. The world is very convincing. And your mind is very convincing. You must be able to separate those things. Otherwise, your mind is going to run you. Once you know that you can run your mind, now you can use the law of mind. How do you put the law of mind, your law, into effect all the time? By the use of your words. You say, I can't. I said, I'm getting sick. That puts the law in operation right away. So you have to watch your words, and you have to watch your thinking. You see? Now, if I'd have turned on the television, they'd probably said, cold season's coming, go out and get this, that, and the other thing, and I'd have really been sick. You see? Do not allow these outside things to influence you. They're only circumstances. They're not entities in themselves. They cannot do any harm unless you breathe life into them. Unless you breathe life into them. So the other thing I was discovering this week, many people have been in this teaching, said, well, Tom, since 04, and probably before that, I'm 30-some years. Other people have been doing this for a long time. But the whole idea is science of mind, are you in science of mind, or is science of mind in you? You see, you can learn all these concepts, and they all sound absolutely terrific, but they become a panacea for the mind people, and they keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. They make you feel very good. And if you talk to somebody, they either say, well, this, oh, I knew that. Oh, I know how that works. Well, yes, you know how it works, but you don't work it and you don't use it. You see, all the intellect in the world and all the knowledge is together, unless you know how to put it together, doesn't do you a damn bit of good. Doesn't do you any good. So, the mind is a little tricky thing, remember. Your mind is not your friend. It was never your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news. Always tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. But the little tricky thing that the mind likes to say is, oh, you know that stuff. You see? Now you think, oh, well, that's okay. I know it. And off you go. Did anything happen? Did you get what you wanted? Did you make it work? No, your mind just told you you knew it. And you were satisfied with that. You see, you satisfied your own mind, your own curiosity. Oh, I know that. It's a trick, people. The mind tricks you all the time. You have to use this teaching. Not be tricked by it, but not allow your mind to trick you. How many people do that to themselves? Oh, I know all that. And you don't do anything about it. So you can read Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind up one side and down the other, but unless you apply this stuff. Ernest Holmes said this is not an intellectual teaching. You're not here to impress people. You're here to use this. But to use this thing that we call the law of mind. And it's in your mind. So start thinking, what am I creating? What law am I putting in to effect? You cannot have words and you cannot have thoughts without them going someplace and doing something. With that, let's look at this handout, the one that says working with the law. And here we go. Thoughts are things. I hold it true that thoughts are things. They're endowed with bodies and breath and wings, and that we send them forth to fill the world with good results or ill. That which we call our secret thought speeds forth to earth's remotest spot, leaving its blessings or its woes like tracks behind it goes. We build our future thought by thought, for good or ill, yet know it not. Yet so the universe was wrought. Thought is another name for fate. Choose then thy destiny and wait. For love brings love and hate brings hate. So what is important here? Thought is another name for fate. What kind of a fate do you want? What kind of a future are you looking for? I found this. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Why is that so important? Remember, learn to live from your imagination, not your history. Learn to live from your imagination. What kind of a future do you want for yourself? Are you seeing that? Are you picturing that? Are you feeling that? Each and every day, you must do these things. The other little thing we've had before, but somebody sent it again over the internet, so I did it. The autobiography in 5 short chapters. Does anyone remember this one? And this is so important, so we won't go. I won't read this to you. You can read it at home. But go down to chapter 5. I walked down another street. I walked down another street. What does that mean? That means you changed your mind. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and expect to get a different result. You have to change completely and go down another street. You have to change completely. And this is what so many of us don't do. We want to keep the old. You cannot have the old and the new people. It's the idea that you cannot put new wine into old wine sacks. And so many people in this teaching want to do that. They want to grasp this on top of something that they already know. You may not do that. I mean, you can do it, but it will not work for you. It will never work as long as you're grafting it onto an old idea. It will never work if you're grasping it onto an old belief that you have. It will not work. You must get rid of it. Any belief that you have operating in your system, the oldest belief will always take precedence over any new belief. And the only way to make the new belief work is to get rid of the old belief. So, when you come into this teaching,
excuse me,
what are some of the things that you must know? First of all, you must know that you're powerful. You must know that this mind that you have sets the laws that you want. And it does that with your word and with your thinking. Does that with your word and your thinking. So many people don't have a framework to hang things on. What do I mean by a framework to hang things on? All right. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Now you have a frame to hang things from. If you don't have this frame or this foundation, then you're building your home on the sand and not upon a rock. So it's always going to start with you. It's going to start with what you're thinking about yourself. Give up any idea of what the world wants, what the world's saying, what your neighbors are saying or anything, and start listening to your own mind. You have to realize that you're an individualized expression of God. And that you can tap in into what we call the super consciousness, which is the mind of God. And you can use that. So start using these different things. So start always with worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the message.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay. All right, so with that, see, we can do this little dance for the rest of our lives and so forth, but you have to allow it to sink in. You have to really start to believe that. And when your little mind says, oh, well, that's true for him, but not for me, and if they only knew, and if this didn't, and that, well, get rid of that. Remember, your mind is not your friend. It's just thoughts going through there. You have to be able to throw out the thoughts that you don't want and not go down that train of thought. If I was down that train of thought when I was feeling ill and sick, I would be sick. I would be sick. Use your thinking. Always going to be your thinking that's doing it. Okay, so what else did we realize? That we have to put into our subconscious mindset that we have a framework. Lori will tell us those three items, won't you, Jim?
When God, all things are possible, this or more you can do, this and it's done to you according to your belief.
Yes. And those three items, you have to remember. You see, go back to me laying in the bed. I said, oh, I can do this. Why can I do this? Because all things are possible with God. Oh, it's going to take 3 days to get over that cold. Why? Because 2 or 3 days with a cold is the belief. Give up that belief. You can feel yourself instantly. Why does it take 4 weeks to heal a broken bone? It can be done instantly. We put the limitation on this thing called God. We put the limitation and the braces on our own brain. We've learned to take that brace off. So listen to what you're thinking and listen to what you're saying. Control your vocabulary. We change vocabulary words. When somebody comes for counseling, I listen to every word that they're saying, and then I make suggestions. Perhaps if you said this instead of that, perhaps we change this word instead of that word. Years ago, I used to worry and worry and worry about my mother. So my Aunt Catherine said to me, "Dallas, don't worry about her. Be concerned. Be concerned." Now, when you change that word from worry to concern, you see, when you worry, it causes things to go on inside of you. With the word concerned, there's none of that impact behind it. So when you change words, you change things. Words are very powerful. Your words are very powerful. They're always going forth to do something. And they should be going forth to heal and to bless and to prosper. But we use it many times to hurt. And we were taught as children, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, that's not true. Words hurt people. Very powerful. So now you know how powerful you are. You see? And you can choose each and every moment. Do I want to heal? Or do I want to hurt? What do you want to do with your words? What do you want to do with your own mind or this law of mind that is inside of you? What do you want to do with it? You see? Everyone wants to be a nice person. You see? Remember, goodness has nothing to do with it. Goodness has nothing to do with it. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Meaning that this law operates immutably. So learn to use the law of mind. When you obey the rules of the law of mind will obey you. But you have to obey those laws first. What do we mean by that? You have to realize that you're powerful, that you do this, this, and this, that's going to happen. You see, and you still don't know that. You think something else is going to intervene. If you make an affirmation or you make a treatment, then you have to know that that's what you're going to get. That's how powerful you are. But we start to monkey with all that stuff, don't we? We pull it up and look at it and dig it around and we say, well, this can't happen. And then somebody steps in and says, well, you know, the economy, that's never going to happen. So the economy has nothing to do with anything. Money is never the issue, people. Money is never the issue. Okay. The issue is always going to be your mind. Always going to be your mind. There's nothing going on outside of your mind. There's nothing going on outside of your thinking. That is a little clever thing, yeah, that your mind likes to tell you that there's something going on out there. And the world wants to tell you that there's something going on because the world deals in circumstances and in conditions. We don't deal in circumstances and conditions. We deal with thoughts. So if your life is not what you want, and if you're not getting what you want, you have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking. What am I thinking? Do I know that I can heal and bless and prosper? Do I know that I can multiply things? You have to know those things. And then they start to happen. You see, this sounds very airy-fairy, and it sounds so wonderful and mysterious and mystical and magical and all that. It is a very practical teaching. It's a very practical teaching, and it boils down always to, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, and what are you thinking about? Think great thoughts about yourself. How many people here are always thinking success? That they're successful. Or you let the mind say, oh no, I'm not successful. I lost that job, or this didn't happen, so therefore I'm not successful. You are always successful, and you must always maintain that condition in your thinking, regardless of what happens around you. Things may fail, but people never fail. But if you constantly know that you're successful, you will become successful. That is an immutable law of the universe. That's this thing that we're calling the law of mind. We call it the law of thinking also. The law of mind. What you think about, you bring about. Easy, simple. The mind talks you out of it. Your mind talks you out of it. I am successful. I am wonderful. I am wealthy. I see nothing but opulence everywhere I look. And then you start to see that and have that. You can only attract into your life what you can conceive in your mind. What can you conceive in your mind for yourself? A movie, a sitcom, writing, whatever it is, start thinking about it. Start seeing yourself in that. Start putting yourself in it. How do we do that? By using our imagination. By using our imagination. Call it visualization, call it anything you want. But you have to start to get a mental picture of what you want. Many people say, I can't do that. Yes, you can do that. It may not be as clear as some people can do, but you can certainly set and sort of get an impression, a feeling. How would it feel? You see. And then keep that feeling going of being successful. And it will come. It has to. It's the law of mind. So this teaching is a very practical teaching. And I'm not putting down metaphysical churches. I think they're absolutely wonderful. But I'm here to tell you that you have to do this yourself. You see, many people like to go to a church because they think that through affiliation there is salvation. There's no salvation through affiliation. Many people think if they go to a brand name church, the minister can do all the work for them. They don't have to do anything. You have to do something. There's a wonderful law in the universe which goes this way. Nothing for nothing. You must always pay in the coin of the realm. And the coin of the realm here is your thinking. What are you thinking? That's what you're paying out. And you'll get it back. But you have to think good things about yourself all the time. For years now, I have said this. The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. And you must just keep loving yourself, regardless. And especially when things go poorly, then you must love yourself. I told this story before them about a boat sinking. And they did everything they could think of. Let water out, put water in, whatever they were doing. They did all these different things. And finally, the captain said, I guess we're going to have to pray. And the woman said, oh my God, has it come down to that? You see, when we think of praying, we live it to the last moment as the last ditch thing to do, instead of starting with a prayer. Start with a prayer every day, every morning. Everything you do, you've prayed for. Now, how does this law of mind work, and how does this thing that we call God work in beautiful and simple ways? The other morning, I got up. I was doing the laundry, and I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I had to leave by 9 o'clock. Well, I'm running behind time, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, oh, this is going on, that's going on, oh, the laundry's still down there, what's up, what's up? I will never have time to get all this done. And I stop myself, and I remember my little affirmation. Whatever short time they rot, everything ready right on the dot. And then I hand this over to this thing that we call God, and I say, I don't know how this is going to be done, but I know I'm leaving here. So I went down to the laundry room, and there somebody had folded all my laundry, and it was all neatly done, and all I had to do was bring it up. Gave me the time that I needed. That's how you use this. Don't always think $1 million is going to drop, and that's all God does. He drops money around and does big things like that. You have to learn to use God for all the little things, too, so that you don't have all this upset in your life. If you have this power that knows how to do something, now I know in your mind you're saying, oh, well, somebody, a neighbor did that, or one of the maids in the building folded his laundry for him and all. But that was God working through those people. This is what you have to understand. This is what you have to understand. The other thing is you don't have to do everything yourself. You see, I thought, oh, I'll be late because I have to fold this laundry to fold up this to do that. Done for me. All I did was bring it up and I was done. This is because that affirmation I've done for years, whatever short time they want, everything ready right on the dot. That's a framework that I have working for. So I rely on those things because it's the law of mind. Remember Emmett Fox? It's a mental world you take in. Use your mind. Use your thinking to do what you want to do. Everyone here does the parking space again, right? You can get the parking space. Then if you can do that, you can do anything. So, now people, I hear other people outside of this say, oh, they have parking fairy and they have this and they have that. Well, God doesn't care to coin a fairy. Doesn't bother. So anyway, they blame it on everything else or give credit to something else for getting this parking space. But you can get anything you want. Tickets to anything, motel rooms, hotel rooms, reservations, anything that you want. Using one little thing. There's always a place for me in the universe. There's always a place for me in the universe. So when you pull up, it happens. It happens. Rose and I were out tonight. We stopped at an optical place to get our glasses. I left her off because it wasn't a thing. I said, well, I'll just go around the block and by then God will make a space for me. And sure enough, space right there wasn't there. Just right around. This is how you use your mind. This is how you use this thing called God. You learn to listen to your mind. What is it telling you? And then if you don't like what it's telling you, correct that. Correct it. Change your thinking. That's the motto of religious science. Change your thinking, change your life. You have to change your thinking. You cannot come into this teaching and not give up your old ideas. So what are some of the old ideas that we should give up? Well, let's start with hate, hurts, grudges, resentments. Let's give all that up. It does nothing. Let's give up the idea that your family caused anything. If the world causes you to do this, that you didn't have the education that you should have had. Those are excuses. They have nothing to do with anything. only have something to do with it if you believe it. And the world loves to believe that. People make millions on telling you what's wrong with you. They make millions. If I sit around and tell people how wonderful they are, they don't pay me for that. If I said to them, you know, you're a horrible individual and you should do this, this, and this, they would pay me. Think about it. Think about it. The world will always give you an excuse so that you do not have to take responsibility for your thinking. Don't you realize by now that the world doesn't want you to think for yourself, that it wants to take over that job so that it can have you by the nose constantly and lead you here, there, and everywhere? Don't you realize that most brand name religions are out there because of that? They want to direct your thinking. Religious science does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think and how to think for yourself. So learn to think bigger and better thoughts about yourself. Learn to know that you're wonderful, that you're successful, and that you're rich. And these things will come to you. That's the law of mind, or what we call the law of attraction. Months ago, everyone was talking about The Secret, about the books and the tapes. And didn't we have them yesterday? This tape, I think I gave it around, but CD, I call it tapes. CDs. Well, what happened to all that people? What happened to all that? It's not a big hype. Went nowhere. Went nowhere. I thought it was one talking head for myself. So you can listen to all this stuff that sounds absolutely great. And it can pacify you and make you feel really good. But if you don't use it, that wonderful feeling only lasts a short time when it can last for an eternity. Once you realize that you are causing everything in your life, once you realize that, you have set yourself free. Now all you have to do is change your thinking. If you see something you don't like about yourself, about your finances, about your health, about anything, you have to change your mind about it. And when you change your mind about it, it has to change. It's an immutable law. Immutable means it never changes. It stays the same and looks the same for everybody. You see, man's laws change. God's law never changes. It stays the same. So you have the tools, you have the knowledge. But it's more than just sitting and saying, oh yes, I know that. You must start to use it and then observe it and then say something. When I went down and found the laundry completely folded, I immediately went into rejoicing. I immediately knew that God did that. I was happy all day. See, we discount things. We still believe in chance and accidents. We believe in circumstances. We misbelieve in one thing, the power of your mind. And this thing that we call the law of mind. What you think about, you will bring about. Sometimes it takes longer than you would like. But if you're persistent, it will always come to you. And the more you use this, the easier it becomes, and the faster things come to you. They just come to you. And then that makes life not only wonderful, it makes it mysterious. It's just wonderful. It's magical. And that's what life is. It's a magic. It's a magical thing. But you have to use your thinking. You have to use your own mind to do that. Okay. Thoughts in our mind are governed by the law of thinking. Thoughts in your mind are governed by this law of thinking. A thought comes into your mind. If you put it into use, it has to do something. It has to become something. It's a seed that's planted in your mind. And it has to take root and grow. It has to take root and grow. Just like when we put a seed in the soil. The soil's only a medium, you know. No one knows why that seed comes to life. No one knows that. Does anyone know anything about seeds? Does anyone? A tomato seed. If you let a tomato seed drying out, you can plant that tomato seed into a tomato. Now, but if you open that little tomato seed up, you know what's in there? Dust. Just dust. But as soon as you plant it in the soil, something happens. So when you get an idea, you have to think of that same thing. What am I planting in my mental garden? What am I planting in my mental garden? You have to know that this mind is a fertile area. You have to know things. And then, and if something's in there that you don't like, you garden too. You go out and pull it up just like a weed. You don't let weeds in your garden, but yet you have like bad thoughts all the time in your mind, and you let them grow and grow and grow. Pull them up. Throw them out. Burn them. And you can use your imagination for that. I also do the imagination. I walk through my mind and see all the pretty flowers and the ones that are ugly and the ones, weeds and so forth. I pull up. And I put them on an altar and I burn them. And I watch all that burn up, and I watch all that smoke go in. And now I'm free. Now I'm free. I'm using my mind. I'm using my imagination. Learn to use your thinking. Okay. Mind is the source and cause of conditions in our lives. Hence, it is here that we start to adjust and discipline our thoughts in order to stabilize our affairs. What's so important about this? Mind is the source and cause. Couldn't we say mind is the source and supply of conditions? Macrocosm, God, source and supply. Microcosm, source and supply. So above, so below. No? Yes. Yes. You've heard that many times, haven't you? So above, so below. Mind. Big mind. Law of mind. Small mind. Law of mind. I have my own law of mind. How am I using my mind? How am I using this law? So mind is the source and cause. Always going to be. Your mind is going to be the source and cause of conditions in our lives. Hence, it is here that we start to adjust and discipline our thoughts in order to stabilize our affairs. In order to stabilize our affairs. And I enjoyed some of this today. I'll go to this one because I think this is something I did. Yes. The average person thinks at random. He has no clear design in his mind to which he can frame his thoughts. You get that? Random thinking won't get you anywhere. He has no clear design in his mind. What design do you have in your mind? Who do you want to be? How do you want to create yourself? And you keep that image in your mind.
always creating yourself.
Remember? You did. Lacage. What was that song in Lacage? I am my own creation. I am my own creation. You're your own creation, people. You have done that. And take credit for that. And stop blaming it on your parents and everybody else. Say, I've done this to myself. And I like what I've done or I don't like what I've done. If I don't like what I've done, since I'm creative, I'll create myself the way I want to be. And then you start to create yourself. But you do it with your thing inside and your mind. You don't look outside for suggestions on how you should be. You do that for yourself. Now, the reason why I love this is so important is because I don't know if I ever told you this. I used to use this all the time. But then it gets into where I know it and no one else knows it. Order is the first law of heaven. What does that mean? Orderly thinking. You have to be able to think correctly, or what we call rightly. And you have to be in order. I used to work for a woman. She was always saying, I'm putting my ducks in order. Meaning your thoughts. Put your thoughts in order. Make a train of thoughts that work for you. But order is the first law of heaven. People who are sloppy around the house and have a mess around the house, that's an outpicturing of your consciousness. Everything you do is an outpicturing of your consciousness. You cannot get away with anything. If your slip is showing, people will see it. People always see your consciousness. It is everywhere. You think it's just here. Your consciousness goes out everywhere. It goes out everywhere. And I can tell you about using my consciousness. I moved into this dumpy place in Georgia years ago in Atlanta. Liked the building, but all dilapidated. And I just kept seeing it, fixing it, doing it. Somebody bought the building. Carpets went in, lights went on, this went up. Fixed the whole building. Fixed the whole building. I take credit for that. Your consciousness goes, your thoughts go, things go out and do things for you. They say, oh, I live in this dump. Start seeing it as something else and it will become that. It'll become that. That's the way it works. It is something within the mind of man that makes the wealth. And that something in the mind of man is the quality and the type of thoughts he entertains. Now the wonderful one, I'll read it again. It is something within the mind of man that makes the wealth. And that something is the mind in the mind of man is the quality and the type of thoughts he entertains. Entertain quality thoughts. Abundant thoughts. Gracious thoughts. Wonderful thoughts. You see, that's what you have control over. It's like you can control your attitude. I knew when my attitude is messed up. And I correct it. So you have to correct your thinking. Everyone here wants to be wealthy. Everyone here wants to be more money. Have more money. So what are you thinking about money? Well, it's a wonderful thing that it's freedom, that it's God in action. That you can have it. That you can give yourself permission to have it. Are these the thoughts that are going on inside of you? Or is it, oh my, you know, with the economy today, oh my goodness, this won't happen, that won't happen. Money is never the issue. The only issue you're ever going to have is your thinking. So what quality of thoughts are you thinking? Are you always thinking but you're living in an abundant universe, a prosperity, a prosperous universe, a universe where this thing called God wants to give you everything. And then are you open and receptive to receive? Are you open and receptive to receive those things? Now, how do you get open and receptive? Sit down and tell yourself that you're open and receptive. And make yourself believe that. Don't wait for somebody else or something to happen. You have to start the ball rolling. God helps those who help themselves. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. But you have to do something about it. It starts with your thinking. We attract only what we think or create. This is the law of thinking. We attract only what we think. What are you thinking about? Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. A man becomes what he thinks about all day long. Are you seeing yourself as successful? Are you seeing yourself as wealthy? Healthy? You've seen yourself in a loving and a caring and a sharing relationship. Do you know that relationships are loving and caring and sharing? Or do you think, oh, my relationships are difficult, they're hard, I'll never find those, people are horrible, there's not enough people out there to love you, yada yada. Is that quality thinking? What do you think it's going to bring you? I often hear, oh, there's not a good man alive. Why don't we chop it up? Not a good, you hear that? You hear that? Not a good man alive? I heard that. Okay. We are what we are according to our state of thinking. We are what we are according to our state of thinking. It's all, this teaching is called science of the mind. It has to do with the mind. Yes, God is in there. God is everywhere. But it's not called the science of God's mind. It's called the science of mind. Your mind. How are you thinking? Learn to think correctly. That's all this thing is about. This life journey. Starting to think better thoughts about yourself. You have to learn to think better thoughts about yourself and love yourself. Till you finally say, oh my goodness, I am one with God. Oh my goodness, I am one with God. That's the way it works. I don't make these things up here. All action is the result of thought. All action is the result of thought. Thought precedes everything that you do. That's how powerful thought is. That's how powerful your mind is. You know, scientists have said that the mind, our mind, human mind, is a computer. And if we built a computer that could do everything that our mind did, it would take up half the continental United States. It would take up half the continental United States. You have a powerhouse inside of you. You have a gift inside of you. You have a friend inside of you. You must start to use that. You must start to use that. The friend I'm referring to, we know that our mind, when I say the mind, I'm talking about the reasoning mind. You'll get nowhere with the reasoning mind, people. Because immediately, what's the reasoning mind going to tell you? Well, that can't be done. The reasoning mind, you say to the reasoning mind, all things are possible with God, it's going to say, ha, 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 are you kidding? You cannot use your reasoning mind to get out of any situation that you're in. We would like to think that, wouldn't we? You have to move the reasoning mind aside. And you have to then use your connection to the mind of God, where all things are possible. So that's the framework that we're talking about. All things are possible with God. You can do this and more. Meaning, if Jesus was able to heal, bless, and multiply, so are you. So are you able to do those things. So start doing them. At least entertain the possibility that that could be happened to you. And then that it's always done unto you as you believe. This is the framework that you pin everything else on. But if you're trying to grasp this teaching onto something that you think you already know, it will not work. You cannot put new wine into old wine sacks. You must let the past go. You must let all that stuff that you learned go, so that this teaching can replace that. The mind does not like to give up things. It wants to keep all that stuff. Now, if that stuff's working for you, keep it. But I doubt very seriously that it's working for you. A true test is always, is it working for me? If it's not working for you, get rid of it. You don't have to keep it. Learn to do it differently. Okay. Am I running over? No. All right. I found these today. You know, I'm always looking through something. I must have thousands of these. And these fell out. So anything that falls out when I'm looking for something else, what I was looking for was my ministerial license. I, you know, misplaced it. And somebody wants to get married, so I have to find one. Okay. Here it is. I forgive myself knowing that I did the best I knew how to do at the time. This is a very critical one to remember, people. You're always punishing yourself after the fact. You must remember that everyone, your family especially, did the very best they knew how to do at the time. If they, when you gained new information, of course you'd have done it differently, but you didn't have the information. So don't do that round robin thing that your mind likes to do to you, punish you and take you down the wrong road because, oh, I made a mistake. You didn't know. You didn't know. Forgive yourself and start over, but don't do it again. You know, don't do it again. When Jesus said to the woman, your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more. What did that mean, go and sin no more? Don't keep thinking those same damn old thoughts. Let those old thoughts go. Go and sin no more. Don't keep thinking the same thought. I radiate self-esteem, inner peace, love, well-being, and happiness. Isn't that wonderful? I radiate self-esteem, inner peace, love, well-being, and happiness. These are the things that you want to have going on inside. And they're there, remember? Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume all these things and they will be yours. They are there inside of you, intrinsically. You came here to this plane of action with all those, but you think, oh no, I have to find them. I lost them along the way somewhere. Journey. You didn't lose anything. They're all there. Pull them out, use them. And how do you do that? With your imagination, people. You use your thinking. Ah, love getting there as much as being there. So many people forget this. Love getting there as much as being there. Life is a process. And you have to love the process. Everyone wants the end result. Who am I dying to be? When am I going to be well? love yourself now. If you don't love yourself now, you're not going to be wealthy. Sorry. What do you think attracts that money and wealth to you? Loving yourself, giving yourself permission to have it. If you don't love yourself and you don't give yourself permission to have it, then a large sum of money comes to you, you won't keep it very long, and we see that all the time. Hence all the people who win the lottery and the next year they have none of that money left. Because they didn't love themselves enough. And their consciousness wasn't stretched to be able to contain it. You see, you must look at your mind as a container. And how big your container is how much you're going to have in life. If you can't stretch your container, that's all you're going to have. Some people's container is the size of a thimble. And they want to suck into that thimble $1 million. Now, do you think you can stuff $1 million into a thimble? Try it. It's not going to work. You have a great big container. You can stuff the money. Stretch your thinking. Stretch your mind. Stretch your consciousness. Your beliefs create your reality. Beliefs are assumptions about the nature of reality. And because you create what you believe, you will have many proofs that reality operates the way you think it does. You get that one? You understand? It's always going to prove itself to you. I'm poor. You'll stay poor. What you're thinking creates your reality, and then you live in that reality. Now you see, the most marvelous thing about religious sciences compared to the world, once you make a mistake in religious science, or you discover that the reality that you want, that you've made, isn't what you want, you can step out of it. The world tells you you've made your bed, now you must lie in it. Religious science tells you that you can remake your bed as many times as you want. As many times as you want. Course in Miracles has a wonderful saying. And what is that saying? Choose again. Choose again. Oops, I chose wrong. Choose again. The world tells you, no, you made your choice. I can never make another choice. Every day, you just keep choosing again. Oops, sorry. Choose again, choose again, choose again, choose again. That's it. I live in an abundant universe. I have everything I need. I live in an abundant universe. I have everything I need. Now, when I read that, that's an affirmation, by the way, and it has to do something inside of me. If it didn't do anything inside of you, that's a new value. But when I said that, the last part of that, I have everything I need, how many people's minds said, oh, no, I don't. I don't have everything I need. You must never allow your mind to tell you that. You must always know that you are enough, you have enough, and you do enough. You see? So that your mind tells you when I say, I have everything I need, you must know I don't. You must correct it. Why? Because if you don't have everything you need, you'll never get everything. I know that's a little tricky thing there. But you have to always know I have everything I need. And then you always have everything. It's the same way. You must always look for good and see good. And you must look for good and see good. The only thing you see is good. You see, you train yourself. You don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. And you have to train your mind to see only good. And that's what will happen. You'll see only good. And you you've been with somebody, you see something wonderful, and you say to someone, did you see that? I said, no, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that. Because you're not trained. They didn't train your thinking. They didn't train your mind. I create money in abundance through hope, through joy, aliveness, and self-love. I create money in abundance through joy, aliveness, and self-love. Excellent. You do it with your mind. So when we talk about the law of mind, give up the idea of thinking about God and all that, and think about your own mind. And know what above is below. And start using your thinking. And start thinking that you're a wonderful human being. That you're whole and you're complete and you're perfect. And life will change for you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.